It's about all these things. Feeling that you have to do something or not do something. Feeling that you should. Do you understand a feeling of obligation to do something is an add-on to the gospel? If you feel that something has to, that you have to do something, or if you're afraid of not doing something, then it's either leaven or circumcision. It's either adding to or taking from that which is finished. Now, at the core level, that's really what I get so ticked off about it, these health and wealth preachers, because they're adding to the gospel. But let's read this and see. Let's try reading it let me see, there's 13, 29. Let's everybody read about 10 verses or something in that frame if you want to read. And then we'll just stop and talk where necessary if you see something that. But this letter was written to Paul. We got to see that Paul is today alive. This isn't a history lesson. And that this letter is he's written it to this Epaphras, who is in this angel seat, and it's to a church that's in the house, just like us. And there's been some seducers that are trying to add in a heresy into the truth. And so Paul, who we've never met, none of us, but we know him. Man, do we know about Paul? Paul scares the shit out of everybody.
Yeah. Please God,
don't let him come visit. No.
Didn't hear a word. Oh,
what was that from? So anyway, Paul.
Letter to bananas.
This could be called bananas.
Bananas.
What?
The epistle.
First banana.
Bananas, chapter 1.
The epistle of the apostle.
It's better than the first donuts. Or third winers.
It's true.
I mean, bananas has some dignity.
Yeah.
Can I get that one through?
No.
Can I get that one through?
That's like something I'm coloring.
Would you
fishing for problems? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you since the day you heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit.
So they've had Epaphras met Paul. And historically there's different things. I mean, there's different ideas of when that took place, but anyway, are you going somewhere?
Okay. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, did not cease to pray for you in a desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God.
Okay.
Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son.
Okay. The word translated is the same word that's used in Romans 12, where it says, be transformed into the... that you mean... Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. And it's the same word that's used in the Transfiguration. It's metamorpho, and it means this thing. It's this grand thing that says that by the act of faith, you are translated. You are in a different kingdom where different things operate, where different rules of behavior operate. Primarily, the main difference to be translated into the kingdom of his dear Son is that you are no longer in the kingdom, or no longer in this, how can I say it, you have left the world of performance. And all performance anxiety should have just left.
I have to say that after my dad died, it slowly dawned on me how much I had wanted to be smart enough, you know, to get his love and to be successful. And I was doing these things for him.
You're making an offer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was pretty amazing that, you know, it's like all that performance, you know, pressure that I put on myself for that was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I find myself trying to, like, you know, fill that with something that's like, crazy.
Try to keep your hands away.
Yeah.
But think of how much of the anxiety of your life is based on performance. Now, the kingdom of his dear Son that we've been translated into, there is no requirement for performance, not the slightest. There's no standards of behavior that you have to meet. There's no rewards that you're going to gain. There's no punishment that you're going to get. There's no impulse that you have to do to get this result. It's his good pleasure to give you all things freely. That's the performance. That's the thing. That's the essence. That there is no... There's no accuser, that there are no tears. I mean, it's a different kingdom. You understand? We have been translated into this kingdom. Now, we're no longer conformed to this world, but we're being transfigured by the renewing of our mind. Now, that's the only thing that's happening. That's why never, ever, ever does it has... I mean, do you think that in the economy of God, or in the economy of even Oli, that I give a holy rat's ass about Bob Tilton? I care that we are publicly identified, so that the test, it's all, I mean, do you understand? I mean, the press and the world thinks, they love us right now. Do you understand? But the reason that they love us right now is so that it can provide the opening in which we can present the cross. When the cross is presented, the love will turn to hate an instant, because you'll be identified and it'll come towards you. Now, this is a very circuitous route to get to this point. But my God, do you understand that there are on KLIF, they're playing promos for the station. The promo for the station is an endorsement of me. It's just ludicrous. They're trying to raise money on the program for Trinity Foundation on Cliff.
Ludicrous, but it's a hell of a promo.
Huh? Is anybody else heard it?
It just talks about it's Kevin McCarthy. Yeah. It's Kevin, and you know how when a talk show host goes on and he's trying to say the controversial thing that will generate the call.
Oh, sure.
Okay. Well, he comes on and he says, "Well, I'm really glad Bob Tilton got slammed last night," or et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. He said, "Hats off to Ole Anthony and the Trinity Foundation, because Ole is one of the hardworking, honest ministers. You know, he's always trying to make ends meet, and it's, you know, coming against these types of people." And they're, you know, I mean, it's just really just a complete.
Does he know you?
Yeah, they know each other. But I mean, it was just a complete, you know, one of those. I was listening.
All that?
Yeah, I was listening, and I felt bad. You know, I was like, wow. but it was a well done promo. You know, with the you know, the station call letters and the
The hook was that Saturday night. This guy Kevin McCarthy was awarded the best talk show in Dallas, and so they're playing off that.
Right.
Yeah, Katie Award.
Yeah,
Saturday night Katie. It was Kevin McCarthy from Cliff on Katie Ward's, and then it cuts into these three bits
and
examples. And the first excerpt is, he just starts saying, Ole Anthony should be commended for his great work.
Right.
He's underfunded, and this is amazing. Then he cuts to, you know, some other controversial clip from a show and other, but the first one.
But it sounds very powerful. It's what I'm saying. And it's meant to be generous.
Well, all of this means is that, I mean, and it doesn't mean all of the press, they think that the world rides. I mean, they think they love us for right now, but it only so that we can have a forum to say the cross. Once the cross is seen, they're going to say, "Oh my God,
yeah. Ooh, who let him?
Who wrong? All those ugly bastards down there.
We didn't know.
Ooh,
those
well,
guys.
That's different.
Ooh, they came in here and just
they said
right
that. They're ready for
Thanksgiving.
That's
those
people
are like, yeah, those extreme.
They've never been ready for it.
Some people are being ready.
Some people will be a slave
of life. Most I mean, I know a lot of people are ready for that.
Some.
Hopefully.
No one is ready for the cross.
No. Have
less on.
Yeah. Well, it's this side of the woods. It's got to be that side of the
okay.
So we need to write down the
what do you think?
In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature.
Okay, now, there's some evidence to indicate that verse 15.
He's ready.
Now, verses 15, 16, and 17 are part of an ancient Kaddish, or it's like it was an ancient, in the first century church, this was a thing that was said after, you know, like, to God be the glory forever and ever, amen. I mean, it was like an ending of all things. And so this was added, there's a lot of evidence to indicate that verses 15 through 17 were just added, they were placed in here. So read 15 again. You'll see it as this, it's that kind of a reading.
Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominations or principalities or powers.
You've been around your wife too long. It's
or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
Okay, now that's a pretty heavy duty thing to say.
Really?
That for by him were all things created, even what you think is bad, that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now that makes Zenning the Zen. You understand? I mean, that's Christ is all and in all. It's okay.
And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven.
Okay. Now, You understand that? That all things are reconciled. This was written 2,000 years ago. All things are reconciled unto himself. They're not going to be. They are. I don't have to worry about Tilton's heresies. Even his heresies are reconciled unto himself.
What does that mean?
That means that Tilton's doing exactly what he's supposed to be in the economy of God, even though he's a blithering idiot. Just like some others here.
I in particular agree with
speaking
that.
If
it weren't for Robert Tilton, I would be.
No. It's like, I don't want you to think that just like we're not, that our crusade isn't to help all the homeless. You know, our crusade isn't to bash all the evangelists either. Our crusade is to live, to be, and we just do whatever comes up before us. Okay? All right, you want to read, Jerry?
And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled.
Okay. Stop.
Did you figure it out so that Gary would read it? Amazing.
The wild child. That's what Jack calls him.
Wild child.
Now.
That's what we call my name.
Is he Edmund Nagy?
Do you understand? It's a Martin Gene.
Yeah. I know.
Exactly.
Wild child.
Michael Crichton wrote that.
It's really
in the genes.
Now,
the gene from
there. Where were you alienated? And where have you ever only been alienated?
In your mind.
In your mind. Your mind says that you have a separate identity. Now, you see what happens? We're going to see about this here in a minute. Your mind says, okay, I have a separate identity and the law's my enemy. I don't like the law too much. So then you say, praise God, hallelujah, now I'm born again, now I like the law.
As long as I can do it.
And you say, what you're really saying is, praise God, hallelujah, now I like 1/1,000,000,000th of the law that I can perform. The law never ceases to be your enemy. You understand that? We're going to see that more clearly. That's really what this is about. Now, the reason that this thing with Tilton is so odious to me is that he has taken one point of the law and tried to make it his friend and teach that in the name of God. Now let's go on.
In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight.
Okay, so we are holy. We are unblameable, we're with unreprovable in his sight. Now, we're not going to be. Do you hear that clearly?
We are unreprovable.
We're unreprovable today.
Now
the word in the next verse, it says if. It's a bad translation. It's good in the original meaning of if, but what if now means it's an optional kind of word. If, like, oh my God, there's that if. The word if here is ice, and it doesn't mean optional. It means since, or in view of the fact that. Or you understand what I mean? Watch. It says instead of if you continue in the faith. Oh my God, what does that mean? It means I'm never going to continue in the faith. It means, but it's in view of the fact that I am continuing in the faith. It's an affirmation of a certainty. No matter what it looks like, I am continuing in the faith. All right.
As if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof Paul am made a minister.
Okay, now wait a minute here. You see what he just said? That the gospel has been preached to every creature which is under heaven? Already? Must say something else. Couldn't say that.
And now rejoice.
No, wait a minute. You don't understand. Your sense of timing isn't too good. verse chapter 1, verse 6, which has come unto you, the gospel, verse 5. It says, before in the word of truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world. The gospel is has come in all the world here. It's preached unto every creature which is under heaven. Well, that doesn't mean now. It means you have... Yes, it means now. Why? The gospel has already been preached. Do you understand that? If you don't understand that, talk to Paul. Don't talk to me. Don't bring your concepts of religion into Paul. Paul will tear you a new face. I mean, this has staggering implications. What does it mean that the gospel already has been preached to every creature which is under heaven? If your identity is to be an evangel, then you're in deep trouble.
If that's true, in light of the fact that that's true, that means that every rock, behind every tree, inside every box, is visible the gospel. It's there.
Right.
If you open a clamshell, you will find the gospel.
Amen.
It has to be.
And if you watch The Wizard of Oz, you'll find the gospel. Right. And if you watch...
That's on tonight.
You see what it isn't.
I've had a neat thing.
Everything has been preaching.
I've been taking these acting lessons.
Acting.
Why?
Well, they don't pretend to bring you a person.
Did you hear that? Because his Majin has been making him do it.
Well, single lessons are working. He's getting
I'm
better.
Back there kicking and screaming.
He's tired of living in that paper bag, so he's trying
to
Rick, it's rough.
It's rough.
That's it, like I did this morning.
Step up to the plate.
No, it was interesting because
you never trust a guy that starts out a sentence with the word no.
No, it was interesting, but.
No, it was interesting, but
happened to me on the way to my acting class.
Did they teach you how to communicate in this acting class?
It was about listening to other people. Well, that's what it was about. I mean, it was like the only way that you can do it is to listen to the other person and forget about yourself. And God. What she was doing, which is the last place I'd have thought.
It's great.
That's
what and the way you know, when you said earlier when I asked you about till, and the only way I can know that is through, would it be through the fruit that they show forth? Or?
The way that he is preaching the gospel?
Yeah, I mean him or just anybody.
Well, but you got to know that what you're looking at is an image. It's like a painting. Is that painting, you know, if you... I mean, that's why it's so crazy. I mean, the only way you really to know a person's fruit is to know them and know their life and know, you know, where they live. I mean, you can't know that from a guy on a, you know, on a two-dimensional flickering light screen. So, I mean, that's what's...
But although it seems like you can, though, because, I mean, you see what he does to people, you see, I mean...
Well... I think all you can do really do on that basis is see what it isn't. I mean, I think that's why we've said before that all that the media can do is to show forth the vanity of all things. That's all you can do with the media. You can't show love. You can't show laying down your life for each other. You can't show continuing no matter what it looks like. You can't show, you know, all of these things on. You can show a drama. Do you understand that in ancient Israel, drama was illegal? You could not have... There's never been drama in ancient Israel. Why? Because life had to be the drama. You couldn't live one step back from it. You had to be participating in it. There was never organized... Do you understand there were never any group sports in Israel? Like football or... There was individual things like cutting off tyrants' heads.
or getting
hot seats.
Where's the parallel scripture that he talks about? Like all, no one has an excuse. All creation cries right. out.
Romans 8.
Romans.
Okay.
For now rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up that which is behind the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church.
Okay, that now that gives meaning to the things that you've experienced, the things that you've suffered. Because the affliction that you experience, the suffering that you experience, has but one purpose, and that's to fill up that which is lacking of the affliction in the body of Christ. Do you understand? Not lacking because it's only lacking because it hasn't been tested yet. Do you understand? That's what that test means.
So his body has to be fully afflicted.
And just as ours does.
I can honestly say that out of all of the religious training that I've had, and versus the short amount of time that I've had here, so there are like three or four huge benefits that I've come to understand, and this is one of them. Baptists think that you're to pray yourself out of affliction instead of seeing the purpose and relaxing, and that's it. Seeing its purpose and relaxing and just going on.
Right.
They're always having you to struggle in the affliction. Like there's something wrong with you. There's a curse. You're not supposed to be there. There's a problem with it.
Yeah, but it's not just Baptists.
It is
man.
The nature.
Every and that's why the various denominational things, anyone that thinks suffering is strange, and the evidence they think it's strange is they'll try to think you out of it, try you out of it, teach you out of it, pray you out of it. They'll do something to get you out of suffering. Anything that thinks suffering is strange can't be the gospel. Do you understand? It's the anti-gospel.
You just put a small electric shock to an amoeba.
Right.
Run away.
Everything in life thinks suffering is strange, except the gospel. Now that's why we'd be damn fools, you know, to stick around here. Unless it was for the gospel's sake. Because here, you know, Delvin and I had this talk about, you know, I spent 15 years trying to figure out what the hell Gary and Judy and John and Josanna were talking about. You know what I mean? Because they'd come up with all these off-the-wall things that they accused me of, and I had no idea what the hell we were talking about. But and it didn't communicate with me. They'd say these things about how I did something to them, or how I did this or that. Or it's like I came from a different universe than they did. And what happened was, I mean, my tendency was just to divorce myself from their being or from my area. And instead, I mean, it's not just, I'm picking on those two, it's more, those are just the elders, I mean, but it's all of the first group when we were together for all those years, including Ed and Pete and everybody.
The religious ones.
But I mean, that's what laying down my life, the form it took. You understand? I mean, hopefully it's been in other forms, but the one that was identified to me real clearly was that I had to lay down my self-interests for their purpose. In other words, somehow I had to cause me to be able to understand what their offense was. No matter, even if I still can't think. I mean, it still frustrates me when I try to think about it. But the only way that could happen is by abiding. Because I came from a totally different world than theirs. I think I came from a totally different world than everybody. But latitude suck, as Bloom says. But part of what it means to lay down our lives for each other is to understand that each of us came from a different world, a different set of idolatries. What we have to come to the understanding here now, what God is bringing us, is that there's so many alcoholics and so many drug addicts now in the group. We've got to understand that alcoholism and drug addiction are idolatries. But there's no such thing as a better idolatry than another one. So the crack cocaine addict's idolatry is no different than, you know, the other little idiosyncrasies in each one
really
of us.
That's really starting to come clear, Shane. That's really starting to.
So I remember, be clear. I have flashbacks. All those times I used to call you, like, from Baylor 50 years ago, I was going to Baylor right after I come here. My mind was just torn to pieces. I don't know what was going on. And I'd call you from Longview where I left to take my first job at Exxon. I didn't know what was going on. And I said to you, you didn't understand the individual circumstances, like, oh, I have these terrible troubles with women or my parents or a job. You understood the theme or the gut, and you advised me for hours on the phone. And I mean, I wouldn't have made it. It was incredible love. You didn't have to understand, because I could tell you did come from a different range. You didn't understand the specific test, but you understood the underlying thing. And I could sense love like I'd never known. It's incredible. Anybody?
Yeah, thank you. Okay.
Whereof I am made the minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God.
To fulfill the word of God. That's pretty heavy.
That's something I brought up during the night. The prayer was made that, God, thy will be done. That seems so redundant to me. Why should we pray, God, thy will be done? Because it's going to be done anyway, right? I mean, what's the deal?
Well, it's like...
It's an affirmation of agreement.
God's will is going to be done in spite of it, just like the birth is going to take place in spite of what happens. But to pray for God's will means that the odds that you're going to be part of the birth instead of part of the afterbirth increase by a factor of 10. Does that communicate?
I can relate to that.
Huh?
It's like jumping on the right side of the line.
You understand?
Okay.
God, thy will be done. It means God's will be done. It's not going to, that's going to happen. But for you to pray, thy will be done, that's the prayer of the birth instead of the afterbirth.
The afterbirth is going, no, not yet.
Okay.
Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, and now is made manifest to his saints.
The mystery.
Can I ask you in verse 25 about
Called who? I called the Laird the other night. I got Robert. He said, Ollie, I said, let me speak to Ollie and talk to Ollie. Ollie said, I don't want to talk to him. You don't want to talk to me. He wouldn't come to the phone. I had to walk over there. I just thought, what is this guy? He won't come to the phone.
I won't have the phone for anybody except Tyra if I'm in the lair.
I know. He was just funny.
He's so rude.
What?
You're so rude.
What do you mean rude?
You're terribly rude.
Yes, he's rude.
I love that. Yes, he's the arbiter of rude.
Sure.
Is rude or not?
Mr. Considerate?
Okay, listen. Tell me which is more rude. Not answering the phone or interrupting someone's meal.
Uh-oh. Interrupting the meal. Man, I hate it.
It was just funny.
In my childhood, I'm serious. Until we were 12, we ate in the kitchen with the hired help.
The sweets.
Huh?
The sweets.
When we reached 13, then we got to eat on the big table. But when you were eating, the worst thing that you could do was to interrupt someone's meal. That was tantamount to the worst insult that you could do.
I never realized that.
All right.
Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of glory, this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Can you see that is the total mystery? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, Christ here is the same Where it says Christ, the hope of glory, it's the same that in every religion there's some idyllic state. And that's the universality. In the ancient time... The ancient, in for instance, in the religion of Media and Persia, the he was called the desired of the nations, or the Koma. In astrology, he was called the desired one. In Phoenicia, he was called Tammuz, the resurrection god. In every religion, in every form of thought, there is a state of idyllicness. And each one of you have that state in your minds. You have a definition of idyllicness. Now, of idealness, I should say. Idyllicness is, communicates, I guess. But you have an idea of that state. Well, that state is called Christ in you, the hope of glory. In other words, the state that you desire is already within you. Now, that is an impossible concept. Because that impossible concept says that the way in which whatever it is to be manifested is by waiting, not by doing. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man that which God hath prepared for them, or for him that waits on him. Wait, wait, wait. That's the only method. That's the only way. That's the only thing by which life is real. You understand? Waiting. Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily.
That we may present every man perfect. How do you do that? If it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, to present every man perfect is to let every man know that he is perfect. As he is, that there's nothing required. If there's anything required, if you have to do one thing, then I can't do this. Because you may not be able to do that one thing. The test of the gospel has to be tested in its... in the worst case. Do you understand? I mean, the gospel has to be true for a quadriplegic idiot, or it is true for no one. Truth has to meet every possible standard, or it can meet no standard. All right? Okay. Everybody understand that perfectly?
Chapter 2. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them that live to see it, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and into all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father in Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge.
Okay. The prayer for those he hasn't seen is that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. Now, the knitting process of the knitting of the hearts together in love is what's called the formation of a body. The hearts are what's knit together. Why? Because that's where the blood, that's the place, that's the seat of independence. Excuse me. Now, what you call suffering is what God calls knitting your heart together in love. All things, without exception, that are considered tribulation or affliction to you as an isolated self are what's necessary to be knit together in the body of Christ. Any slightest hint at preaching success in isolation is the opposite of the body of Christ. You understand that? Any time that I can tell you how to get something from God, it's the opposite of the mystery of God. The mystery of God says that all of the riches are already manifested, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, can you see why Tilton and the preaching of Tilton and these, it's all these guys, but it's no more than the preaching of Zig Ziglar or Ross Perot, but they're not doing it in God's name. All right.
So what they're really preaching is how to control God.
And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words.
Enticing words.
For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. If you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him.
How did you receive him?
Rooted and built up in him.
How did you receive Christ? As you received him, how did you receive him? You received him only in the point of weakness. You didn't. You understand? If you say you accepted him, then you haven't yet received him. You can only receive him in the point of abject weakness when there's no strength yet left to make the decision. If you say you have accepted him, then it's a self-act of righteousness. Then you can say, did you accept Jesus as your personal Savior? Anybody says that to me, I tell them to hit the road.
Did we receive him or just recognize him?
We just saw him.
You made a comment on the interview on TV that the analogy with the Wizard of Oz, and they all got the desires of their hearts, and you made a comment that men should recognize that God is within them and they should just let him out. So
that's what the meaning of letting him out is to pick up the cross.
So are you saying that Christ is, well, in all and in all, that would also include us, but then part of us are for glory and part of us are for destruction?
Part the vessels of wrath and vessels of mercy.
Does that fall into eternity?
Mm-hmm, sure.
Into heaven, into hell?
Eternity. Eternity is now. Heaven and hell, especially hell. Heaven is another story. But
I can live with heaven. It's hell that I have.
Okay. Hell ends with time when time ends.
So
this is hell, basically.
No. This isn't hell. No, but
both people who believe it, though.
Yeah, hell is real. It's the second death. It's the dump for the New Jerusalem. It's in eternity consciousness it's an eternity of self-seeking with an accusing heart in the midst of that and without the inability to make sense of suffering.
I'm trying to give it form.
Yeah, you want to be a place.
I'm wondering, is that going to be a place of fire and damnation where souls are going to be tormented and gnashing of teeth forever and ever?
But forever and ever only lasts as long as there's time. Do you understand that?
Right.
Okay.
But
when the mystery of God is completed, time shall be no more.
But does God say how long that is?
He said we're pretty close to the end of it. Okay. That'll be the day that it ends.
Yeah. Right.
I cannot tell you how much Mike enjoyed that.
The other one was, what was all the dominations?
Who's reading?
Verse 7. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding there therein the thanksgiving.
Now remember that everything we've read so far about the riches of the glory and the inheritance and the understanding and being rooted is all in him. Do you understand? The prepositional phrase in Christ is used over 200 times in the New Testament. And it's positional. It's sphere of influence. It's in him. Now Christ is in you. Christ is, but that's sort of, there's not a great deal of, that's kind of a so what. It's you in Christ that's important.
Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power.
The word complete means lacking nothing. You are complete now in him. Therefore, if any man says that you need something else or that he gives you excuse for wanting something else, then it can't, you cannot be teaching the truth. Okay. Miss Tommy?
In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made with our hands.
Thank God.
In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision.
Okay, what's the circumcision made without hands?
Heart. Circumcision of the heart.
Okay, and what's the evidence of the circumcision of the heart?
Love of the brethren.
Huh?
Love of the brethren.
No.
Romans
2 says that he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, whose circumcision is of the heart and not of the flesh, and whose praise is not of men, but of God. The evidence that you no longer need, that the circumcision of the heart is complete, is when you no longer care what men think. Now, that's really difficult. It means you no matter care. In other words, it means that you not even know, how can I say this? It sounds cold for me to say that I don't care what you think. But in truth, it's the highest form of love, because that means you cannot affect the mission. You can only join it. Do you see the difference? If I care what you think, then I will change the words subtly. I will add water to the wine to entice you. Think about the enticements that are done, the traps that are laid in the name of God. It's pure evil. The evidence that the circumcision is complete is that you no longer care what man thinks. Because of that, then you can truly, for the first time, reproduce yourself. Spiritually. Okay.
Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins, and in and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgotten you all of trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us.
Okay, blotting out the handwriting of Torah is what it says. It's, you understand, the law is a curse. And he blotted out the handwriting of the law, which was against us. But the moment you try to use the law for your benefit, man, you get zapped again. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, which is against us. Again, so many of you believed that the law was your friend for a while, right? Okay, go ahead.
Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a shrew of them openly.
Show.
What? A
shoe. A shoe or a show?
A shoe. Okay. Yeah, sure.
True.
Yeah.
Telling of the shoes.
Triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of any of an holy day or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, that the body is of Christ.
Okay, the word shadow is the word for a parable or a metaphor. It's a pattern. So, the idea of these things, meat, food, or drink, or holy days, or feast days, or the new moons, or the Sabbath, all these are a shadow, but that doesn't give you the right. It's that all these are a pattern of Jesus Christ. So if you literalize any aspect of the pattern, you've missed the point. You understand that? If you try to eat, it doesn't matter what it is. If you say whether any aspect,
this
is how it works, then you've literalized the pattern and you've begun worshiping this segment. Okay, what the effect of the heresy, of this Colossian heresy is the segmenting of your life. So that there is a piece of thing, there's a thing that you do or you think that's more important than another thing or a piece. Now that's what's so evil. If we say that God is all and in all and Christ is all and in all, and then you start segmenting your life by saying this thing is what you do to get pleasure from God, or this thing is what you do to, this is secular and this is spiritual, or this is holy and this is, pretty soon you've become totally separate from the mystery because you've literalized the parable. Okay.
That no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind.
And now, stop a minute. Since we're picking at Tilton, I'm just hearing him say, this is what Jesus told me to tell you today. And then saying it, he's justifying greed in the name of Jesus. I wouldn't want to be in his shoes for all the money in the universe. It's a good place to stop. Let no man beguile you. We'll continue there Sunday. I want to. This whole of Colossians is an important book, and I just felt like we needed to study this now. Okay. Let's.
Yeah, I had something on that. You know, what's coming out of it? We had Burnett and I had a real wingding of about 3 weeks, where the pressure got real hot in business. And it just got pretty tough, and it was unbelievable how many things went wrong. That just one thing after another. We had some computer plotting that we had to do. When we took it to the plotter, the plotter had a virus. We couldn't plot the thing that day. And, this guy's thing broke, and this thing broke, and this guy was out of town. It was just an unbelievable list of those things. It was really neat to just sit back and say, hey, no big deal. That's the way things are. And then we get down to the end of it, and, there's peace all the way through it. Through all that turmoil and all that struggle and all that craziness where I'd have been climbing on the ceiling otherwise. And we get down to the last hour. The meeting's at 2 o'clock today. And I was up till 3 a.m. last night working on this thing, make sure it was all right. There was never any anxiety to it. It was just, I was worn out, but there was always that peace there. And at 1 o'clock today, an hour before the meeting, Burnett finally picked up the last computer plot from Ridgeway's, was bringing it over to the office, and everything just, bam, fell right into place. 2 o'clock, the meeting went, just like clockwork. It's just amazing to see God's hand through things like that. If you abide, he just...
Yeah. Then the next step is when you see God's hand winning. Everything is terrible, and then nothing good happens, and you don't get ready for the meeting, and the meeting's a total failure.
We've seen that.
but you have to see it in peace. Now, when he said, "Hear me," this is really important. When he said he won't put anything more on you than you can bear, it means that. It means all things, but it also means getting to that point where you can see everything falling apart in front of you, and you still see God. And that's, you know, I'm overjoyed that you saw this, and you know, I pray it continues. I don't want to pray for tribulation at anybody. I'm not that dumb.
Please don't.
I think what he was most joyful about is in that situation, I would become very manipulative, very oppressive, very control freaked.
None of us would have suspected that. Would you?
And it was just the opposite. I mean, I was saying, Mike, give me a rest. It's all right. It'll work. It was the first time we've ever been through that situation, by abiding in faith as opposed to, man, we're going to make this son of a bitch work, goddammit, our way, you know?
Amen. That's great.